Welcome to Furry Tales Podcast. I'm Amy Hendren, and I'm joined today by my amazing co-host,
Angie Coates, and we're here to discuss furry tales about animals and history.
Welcome to Episode 2, Smokey the Yorkie Doodle Dandy. It was February 1944. World War II raged on. Smokey the Yorkie was found by Ed Downey in the jungles of New Guinea in a foxhole when his Jeep stalled. He got out. He was jiggling wires when he heard whining. Walking over to where he heard it, he saw a small little golden head popping out of the foxhole and falling back in. Downey didn't like dogs, but he scooped her up and brought her back to the airbase.
When he returned to the base, he offered the dog to Sergeant Dare, who readily accepted and named her Smokums. Sergeant Dare chopped her hair off, saying she was too hot. He made a leash from white parachute cord and a tiny makeshift collar for her neck. Shortly after Sergeant Dare asked Corporal William Wynn, an American aerial photographer, what kind of dog it was. Corporal Wynn wasn't sure, but said she looked like some dizzy little poodle. Corporal Wynn asked to buy her and offered him £2, which was $6.44 at the time. Dare said to make it three and they'd have a deal. Wynn looked at the poor dog, and it looked like someone had hacked at her with a sickle, and he wasn't entirely sure that the dog would make it, so he said no. Later, when he saw Ed Downey, his tent mate, who had found the dog, Corporal Wynn asked why he didn't offer him the dog, since he knew he wanted one. Downey said simply he didn't want a mutt in his tent.
How can people not like dogs? I don't trust people that don't like dogs.
I don't know. I don't understand it.
It's a big red flag for me. It's a big red flag.
I mean, I give him props for taking the dog. Even though he didn't like dogs, he didn't leave her in the foxhole, which he could have.
Right, he could have, but still.
Yeah, I don't understand the not liking dogs. I don't get it.
You're weird. Oh, he probably just wanted to do it to, you know. And I know he did give her away, but, you know, it was like probably one of those thoughts, like, what can I get for her?
Yeah. I can't imagine what she was feeling. This is New Guinea during World War II.
Right.
In a war.
Probably our worst ones.
And there's consistent bombings, aerial raids.
Noises, smoke,
yeah,
you name it. And most little Yorkies today, if they hear a firecracker, yeah, will go underneath a couch. So, I mean, she was a tough little cookie from the, yeah, beginning.
And 4 pounds. 4 pounds of dog lost in the jungles of New Guinea.
In a foxhole.
And yeah, ended up in a foxhole. I can't even imagine.
It was the only place that she could find, I'm sure, to hide.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. So the next day, Corporal Wynn was working in the photo trailer when Sergeant Dare came by and offered to sell him Smokey for £2 because he wanted to get back in the poker game. Wynn readily accepted when Dare told him all she needed was a couple of good meals, but otherwise she was fine. Wynn waited all day to go and get her, and it appears Smokey was equally as eager to be his dog. Upon returning to his tent, Ed Downey looked over and saw the dog and immediately protested about having the dog in his tent. Corporal Wynn wasn't about to give her up and insisted she was staying. Grumbling a bit, Downey said to keep her away from me then. Wynn's first concern was how he was going to feed this tiny dog. She may not be big, but he couldn't get her the typical rations fed to the registered war dogs. He was concerned that the rations that they got wouldn't be enough to keep her healthy. Dogs generally don't eat army rations made up of coffee, dehydrated potatoes, powdered eggs and powdered milk, bully beef, which is a type of canned hash, mutton, which according to Wynn was just awful in every measure, and canned fruit. But as it turns out, canned fruit was a huge hit, and the bully beef was a close second.
I mean, I'm okay with corned beef, but it's gotta be done a certain way.
Yeah.
And I gotta
And
be like in the mood. But it's very
yeah.
salty, and it's not the best thing for, I mean, for war it's good because it helps you retain your water, but for a dog, I don't think it's very good.
Probably not. But I
Yeah.
mean, that's what they had. And unless it's a registered war dog, they couldn't get,
Talk to
you know, dog
Which,
food.
honestly, even though army rations are not delightful, I'm sure that dog food was worse,
Yeah.
nutrition wise.
Right.
I think she got the upper hand on this because she had to have rations with the rest of the guys.
Yeah. And I mean, any of these, there was a lot of guys that had dogs during World War II, and every single one of them had to give up some of their food in order to make sure that dog lived.
Right. I mean, it helps for with the dehydrated eggs and the milk would give them the vitamins that they would need, the protein, the vitamins, the whatever that they didn't have in that dog food, because I'm sure it was cardboard.
Yeah.
It's just gross. I mean, my dogs eat fruit, and so I don't see that as a bad deal. But I don't see a Yorkie eating fruit, even though she liked it.
Yep.
So that's,
Turns out canned fruit, huge hit.
I mean, mine will eat applesauce and fresh fruit. So, I mean, canned fruit's not too bad. At least it's sweet.
Yeah. So Corporal Wynn named her Smokey, and in between the endless running to Foxhole because of the air raids, Wynn had plenty of time to train her as he was awaiting flights to photograph the areas from above. He taught her to heel, to sit and stay, and stand stay, all of which would be important when they were in the foxhole. Wynn was part of the AKC program at the Cleveland All Breed Training School before he was drafted into the Army. It was a nationwide movement that taught novices to train dogs for the war effort, and many military dogs started their careers this way.
That's really cool. I almost thought that he started, helped start the AKC program, but it was already in place.
Yeah, it was in place. And but how cool would it be for the whole country to come together and people just training dogs all over for the soldiers to find bombs and to find sniff out landmines and to do these amazing things that dogs can do. And it was that was all started by the AKC.
That's awesome. I mean, I know it's got to be tough for the trainers knowing that they are bonding with a dog that's got to go away. But that also makes for a good dog to make sure that they do have a good human bond. It helps.
Yeah,
And as long
absolutely.
as and I'm sure they were all assigned to someone to keep that morale with the animal.
Sure.
That's why Smokey was so awesome.
Yeah, because oh, he loved that little dog.
And that dog loved him. And she was so cool with okay, well, he gives me treats when we do this, so well, let's do stuff because I get treats.
I'll do all the things.
I'll do all the things, like whatever you want. I get treats. I don't care. I get treats.
Smokey trained quickly and within a few days also learned to play dead and to sing. She slept leashed to Wynn's cot because he was afraid that the pythons that traveled the jungle would eat her because she was so small. Smokey was 4 pounds. He washed her daily in his helmet since chiggers in the jungle could cause scrub typhus, a disease that killed 90% of those that caught it. He wanted her to enjoy being a dog, chasing butterflies and birds, but he knew he had to be careful to keep her chigger free as well. She didn't mind bathing in the makeshift tub, and accept the daily ritual with grace.
For a dog to get groomed every single day.
And she had hair to the ground.
Well, after it grew back.
After it grew back. He kept her in a really long...
Yeah, like a Yorkie, a typical Yorkie trim, except probably not all the way to the ground.
Yeah, just up, just a bit. And he would trim her head up a tad because she didn't wear a bow in it.
Right. Yeah, the top knot's not a thing for war dogs.
Yeah. So...
Sure, she thought she was a princess, but no bows in the war.
Yeah, no bows during the war. For him to make such a commitment to bathe her, to comb her out every day with that little plastic issue comb that every soldier gets every day.
And I wish I knew what kind of shampoo I know he found something, but I wonder what it was, because
World War II. It was probably Fell's Nap, the soap.
Oh, I didn't think about that. They had the bars on them.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff does smell good, though.
It does.
It does smell good. So maybe that's what probably helped. Is I think that helps because of the smell. Just like Dial soap keeps away pests as well if you cut it up.
Yep.
So it's probably something that also it was underlining that helped keep the bugs away because she smelled too clean.
Could be. Could very well be.
And we all know a clean dog is not the best host for bugs because healthy skin isn't so fun to try to get the meal.
Yeah, you're right. That's a really good point. Wynn entered Smokey in the Yank Down Under magazine as the unit mascot. His buddy took a picture of her in his helmet, aka her bathtub, and Wynn submitted it. Wynn came down with dengue fever and was taken to the hospital. To cheer him up on the third day, his friends brought Smokey to see him. They also brought his mail, which was an envelope from Yank magazine. Smokey had won. There wasn't a lot to celebrate in the hospital wards in the jungle during World War II, so having Smokey win the unit mascot was something all the men could get behind. The nurses took the now champion mascot around to meet the other soldiers during the day, and Smokey retired to Wynn's bed at night. After recovering and returning to the base, Wynn then discovered through a friend that Smokey was in fact a Yorkshire Terrier. National Geographic had run an article on the breed, and sure enough, there was a spitting image of little Smokey.
I just had a thought. That'd be kind of cool to see if we could go back in the archives and see what that picture was. Because you know it exists in some archives.
Oh, it absolutely does. Now we have to find that.
Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But it would be cool. It would be cool. Just to kind of match it up to go, hey, this is what they were looking at when they saw that Smokey was a Yorkie.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to need to find that. Because now I want to know.
Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But I was like, oh, hey, we could probably look that up. Why haven't we looked that up yet?
It didn't occur. But I wonder, you know how the breeds have changed over the last, you know, even 50 years, let alone.
Yeah, exactly.
What did a Yorkie look like in 1944? What was the breed standard? How different were they then to what they are now?
I would think that the Yorkies are probably pretty close. Only because they were one of those, like, royalty-style dogs. And most of those haven't really changed too much.
Yeah.
You know, the working dogs, they've definitely, all of them have changed.
That's true.
All of them. But yeah, no, I'm excited to learn. Gonna try and look that up.
Yeah, as soon as we wrap up here, that's going to be the first thing I do. When on leave in Brisbane, Australia, Wynne was asked to bring Smokey to the 109th Fleet Naval Hospital to visit with the sailors and the Marines. The men weren't healing quickly, and they could use a morale boost. It was the first of many shows Smokey would perform for soldiers during her career. Wynne would say, "Bang!" and Smokey would play dead. She showed them all of her obedience abilities, and the grand finale was what Wynne referred to as the grapevine, where she'd weave in and out of his legs as he walked. While on leave, Wynne had a green felt pool table cover made into a jacket for Smokey. It was adorned with the 5th Air Force patch, corporal stripes, the U.S. insignia, a small brass propeller button, a triangular photo patch, 2 6-month overseas bars, and an Asiatic Pacific ribbon, and a good conduct ribbon. After performing for the soldiers at the Red Cross, one of them pinned their Red Cross pin to her jacket, and a Women's Army Corps said that since Smokey was female, she was obviously a whack, and added her whack pin to the collection.
By the way, the jacket was quite impressive.
It was absolutely stunning.
For being, I mean, I couldn't make, I mean, it was great. It was a little big for her, but I liked it still. It was really cool. It was very, I mean, it fit the times, and they were so good at using what they could find. And making her just this, like, spoiled little pup.
Yeah. Considering where they were and what they were in at the time, he did everything he could to just lavish on her as much love and care as he possibly could. And I really admire that. The life that he tried to give her, despite the fact that they were in the middle of the jungle in World War II.
And what does WAC mean again?
It's Women's Army Corps. It is back in World War II. That was the, all women were considered WACs. So it was, the men were regular army and the women were Women's Army Corps.
Right, because it wasn't, women weren't really.
Well, they were not in combat. The only time they were near combat was if they were in a med tent.
Right.
Or serving as a nurse or something like that. So they had important jobs, but they were very different and not on the front lines. There was a lot of intelligence work that they did. They did a lot of the support roles that without them, I mean, it simply wouldn't have worked. So they completed the whole picture.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
She was decorated.
Yes, she was more decorated than any other dog.
She's very decorated. That's great.
Wynne visited 12 different wards of soldiers, and the GIs needed some entertainment and joy, and Smokey was it. They wanted to hold her, to pet her, to simply delight in her company. While on leave, some soldiers told Wynne that Smokey found a boyfriend. He ignored the teasing, and they prepared to head back to base. When returning to duty to fight the tedium between 12-hour shifts at the photo lab, creating thousands of negatives and photographs of aerial surveillance, Wynne decided to do more training with Smokey. He wanted to teach her to walk on a tightrope, and eventually teach her to do it blindfolded. It didn't take her long to learn to balance on the wires, and then eventually, she actually did it blindfolded. Then he taught her to barrel walk, learning to jump onto the barrel, walk on the barrel, jump off on command. And once, after refusing to do her barrel walk, Wynne wondered what was wrong with Smokey and took her back to the tent. He put her on the bed, where she then gave birth to a small black puppy. Turns out she actually had found a boyfriend, and Wynne decided she would lose her good conduct medal, and it took over a year for her to earn it back. When the pup was grown enough, he was named Topper and adopted by one of the other soldiers.
I think that's so funny.
No good conduct medal for you.
No medal for you. Good day. Oh, and she loved Little
She
Topper.
did. And I guess from what I read in the book, she was a good mom.
Yeah, very good. She was very motherly from what I've gathered as well. And she was like, okay, so in between all my training, I'm going to be taking care of this little guy.
And he was about her size, maybe just a little bit bigger, as males do tend to be.
Right.
Smooth coat. So he had a short, tight coat, and he was black and tan. So really cute little dog.
I need to go back and look at that.
Wynn knew if he got his 300 required hours of combat in, he could go home sooner. So he signed up to be one of the onboard photographers. After his first mission, he returned to base, and an argument ensued about who would get Smokey when he got shot out of the sky. He decided there and then that Smokey would be going with him from now on. Wynn used a canvas musset bag with buckles as Smokey's hiding spot during missions. And if he had to bail out, he'd tie her to his waist and parachute out with her. She was his one light in the war, and he would do anything to keep her safe.
Yeah, I knew from all the things that we have researched that it was one of those. Yeah, I'm not sharing my dog. So she, if I go down, she goes down with me, and I'm not sharing. This is my little baby girl, and that's it. But it also in war, it's not fun. None of it's fun. And when you have a little companion that you, I mean, and after all that, they really did bond. Like, I mean, that was a long time in there where they were able to bond. And that's when he was like, no, this is mine. And I probably would have been the same way.
Yeah, I get it. I get
You
it.
would throw the pugs in a bag too. You'd be like, nope, not in this situation, nope. But I mean, it's probably his trust level kind of was not there either because some of these guys were not that trustworthy.
Yeah. Yep. Then, especially knowing some of them didn't actually like dogs. So
Yeah.
it's like, nah, I'm just going to take her with me.
We're gonna make this work.
Wynn and Smokey were relocated to the Philippines. There was a problem at the airstrip. Sergeant Bob Gap asked Wynn if there was a chance that they could use Smokey to walk through the 8-inch-wide drainage culvert that ran 60 feet long under the taxiway so they could tie a string to her and have her pull that through. So then they could attach communication lines to that and then pull those through. Wynn only agreed after they promised that if she were to get stuck, they'd dig up the taxiway to get her out. They agreed. So he and Smokey went to work. Digging up the taxiway would not only ground planes that would then be the focus of enemy bombing, but it would take 2 whole days to dig up the pipe, send the cable through, and then dig up the next section. They attached a light string to a collar, and Wynn went to the other end of it, and he called her. The culverts were made of galvanized steel pipe, and with it being under the taxiway, there was some shifting. And sand got into some sections, leaving only 4 inches of clearance in some areas. What would have taken days took Smokey only a few minutes, and she made her way through the pipe and back into Wynn's arms. She was awarded with a steak from the mess hall from her for her work.
Damn right, she should have gotten a steak. But
But she powered right through that thing.
I mean, I recently groomed a 4-pound dog. 4 inches, it's tight, but they can do it. And she had the moxie for it too.
Oh, she absolutely did.
But man, if he in war, if you get a steak at the end of it, yeah, sign me up. Put me on the payroll.
Yeah. And Wynn said in the book that the steak was the size of a mini burger, but when you're 4 pounds, steak
Yeah,
is a steak.
who cares? It's good enough.
Smokey was famous again. Having made the teletype and the phone lines available for the base, Smokey quickly went from mascot to war dog. Wynn attempted to teach Smokey to spell her name, showing her the shapes of each, having her nose over them. But when he hoped she recognized them, he asked her, and she simply wasn't interested. August 6th, 1945, the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, and on the 9th, on Nagasaki. On August 15th, World War II had ended. Corporal Bill Wynn and Smokey were now in Okinawa, and before going home, they performed for the entire squadron. She did all of her tricks, from the barrel roll to the wire walking, showed off all of her obedience commands. Wynn and Smokey waited to go home. Slowly, the camp emptied, and Smokey developed an infection in her nasal passages. Wynn became concerned about the amount of mucus she was producing and took her to the veterinarian on base. He had no medicine to give Smokey and suggested Wynn feed her fresh eggs and milk mixed together. Well, all they had were powdered eggs and dehydrated milk, so Wynn used what he had and mixed her up a bowl. In 3 days, she was returned to health. If it was the mixture or simply her body fighting off the infection, no one will ever know.
That's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Kind of the extra, because I know like when we're sick too, it's like, you gotta make sure you get your protein in, because that helps your body do the things it does.
Yeah.
And you get protein from eggs and I think a little bit from milk. And it just, a higher protein will make your body kick into high gear. So it was probably because of the mixture that her body was able to fight it off.
Yeah.
Because if milk and eggs takes care of a sinus infection, sign me up. I should have done that a long time ago when I was a kid.
Right. Well, there was no dog food for the regular dogs. There was no veterinary medicine to speak of for the not war dogs. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And that's the only options he had. He had to kind of run with it. After a hurricane blew Wynn's tent away with him and Smokey inside it, then the wind took his cot and threw that, with Smokey attached to it by her thin leash, Wynn chased after it and tackled it to the ground and caught her. They sheltered in the mess hall until the roof was ripped off. Then they tried to take cover in one of the abandoned caves, but it was filled with goats. So Wynn and his buddy Hembury chased down a plane and convinced the pilot to take them and their two dogs, Smokey and Duke, to Seoul. Once there, Wynn was going through his bags and getting rid of anything that wasn't necessary. He found the letters that he had made for Smokey to learn how to spell her name and set them out in front of the dog. Sure enough, she did know how to spell her name, and she did it numerous times to prove it. It turned out Smokey preferred to work on her own timetable when it came to training, and this was her way of letting Wynn know that.
Like, that wasn't my... It wasn't a good day. Just wasn't a good day. And that the other day, yeah, that wasn't good either. But now we're cool. Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, I'll do it now. I know how to do it. I just didn't feel like doing it the other time.
And by the way, I know we don't talk about Duke in this, but he was a lucky little dude too, because they were always together and always got to do... You know, they got paired together, so every time they had to go somewhere new, it was like, oh, but we got two dogs. and so it was kind of cool that, you know, it was one of those where they got special attention, probably. Probably Duke got more special attention because of it. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wynn was concerned about getting Smokey home to the U.S. He'd heard about dogs being put back to shore, being put down, or worst case, being thrown overboard when brought aboard naval ships, and decided to hide Smokey in an oxygen mask carrying case. He practiced with Smokey, getting her into the bag, and he cut a large opening in the bottom, putting a screen over it. It was big enough for her to stand up. big enough for her to lay down, and he showed it to some of his friends and took out other items he had put in the bag. Then he called Smokey, and she popped out, and they assured him no one would know of his stowaway. Wynn was horribly ill from being seasick, and when the call came for men who had brought dogs or monkeys aboard, he was too ill to leave his bunk. He was aboard for a week when a lieutenant wandered down to Wynn's level of the ship and spotted Smokey. The jig was up. The next day, he was called to report to the ship's office. They asked Wynn if he'd pay the bond for the dog, which may be as high as $1,000. Wynn agreed. Duke and Smokey were now free to play aboard the deck, as both had paperwork agreeing to pay their bond and a release from any responsibility for the dogs by the Navy. Apparently, they had to pay the bond to get the dogs back into the United States. But weirdly, they never ended up paying that bond for Duke or Smokey.
That's cool. They stowed them away. Well, it's probably one of those they were willing to. So maybe that means that they were worth a darn.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, if say you did something similar and you were on a boat and you were going to a different country and you didn't say or divulge anything, but you said, hey, I'm willing to pay whatever it is. That means that dog is that important to you and possibly to others. So it kind of gives it a value.
Yeah, I see your point.
And maybe they're like, well, if they think it's, you know, like if someone's not willing to pay it, then they're like, oh, it's just an animal. Screw it.
Yeah.
And that means that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be, you know, coming back into the U.S. But this one was, no, we're willing to do this. They were, you know, they're awesome dogs. They're our companions. You know, we'll do anything we got to do.
Yeah. It was also when they were on that ship that Smokey saved their lives.
Yeah.
Because Smokey, from being in the jungle,
she's got ears, man. She's got ears.
Mad ears, because we heard the kamikazes before the sirens went off.
And was like, hey, some's not right.
So she, Duke, his owner, and Wynn took cover.
And they knew because of her reaction.
Right. She told them, kamikazes are coming. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, something's not right. We don't like this. We don't like anything that's going on right now.
They missed them by 3 inches. 3 inches. Yep. So when the kamikazes came down, they would just spray over the ship. And had they not gotten down and literally hugged the deck, then they would have been killed. But because Smokey told them, because they literally just dropped poof out of the sky, as you know,
and they usually did it at night.
Yep.
So no one would see, no one would hear, no one would notice until it was too late. But
yep,
Miss Smokey,
she knew. And she's like, hey, guys.
Can we have more Yorkies like her? Well, like, she doesn't sound like the little lap dog, you know? And she sounds like a working dog. Like a shepherd. She's like a little tiny shepherd. Like, I got all this. I can do all the things. I can smell the things. I can hear the things. Oh, my gosh. But in a 4-pound body.
Yeah. That fits in a helmet for her daily baths.
And a little, what was it? The gas mask, right?
In an oxygen mask. Oxygen mask bag is what they carried around. Yeah, super teeny tiny. And Wynn said when she stood up, the bag stood up. And when she laid down, the bag laid down.
You're like, Go back, lay back down. People will ask weird questions. Why is that back moving? Don't know. I don't know.
No idea.
Must be a rat. I have no idea because that's their size.
Yeah. On day 10, they returned to the U.S. shores in Puget Sound. Once off the ship, they were all transported to Tacoma and Fort Lewis. Taking in a meal of milk and steak, Smokey was finally home sleeping in a real barracks instead of a tent and on American soil. In Cleveland, while waiting for the train, some people from the USO group saw Smokey and Bill and came to see them. One of the members called the Indianapolis Star, the local paper. Wynn and Smokey were finally home. And a few days later, the dog columnist for the Cleveland Star called and wanted to do an interview. The next day, Smokey and her story were front page news under the title, Tiny Dog Home from War. After that, Wynn and Smokey were asked to perform all over the eastern U.S., and papers ran stories about them. They were a fan favorite. When performing at Creel Army Hospital, one of the patients who had been catatonic for 2 years suddenly burst into motion. He wanted to hold Smokey. It was the first emotion or movement they'd seen from him in 2 years.
That's awesome. It speaks volumes for what therapy dogs can do, or dogs in general can do. Because she wasn't a therapy dog. She just found out that was kind of her thing.
They say that she was one of the first therapy dogs because it wasn't a thing back then. But I mean, kind of in a way, aren't all dogs kind of therapy dogs for their owners anyway?
Most. I couldn't say all because some of them are just bumps on a log. But or they're, you know, like a Malinois that's just high energy that doesn't slow down for anything. I don't think that that's up there. My grandmothers, both of them, had dogs for basically company, which is technically therapy for them to not feel alone or someone to talk to when they did feel alone.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, I mean, I talk to the dogs. I know you probably do too. So, I mean, I guess so. Yeah. I believe you are correct, ma'am.
Yep. Wynn and Smokey made regular appearances at Army hospitals, as well as regular hospitals in the Cleveland area. Smokey even did a promotional movie with some shelter dogs to help the dogs get adopted. She was learning new tricks all the time, and eventually they began working at the traveling zoo that went on the road through Cleveland and the surrounding areas. Wynn married Margie, and soon they traveled to California, where Wynn began working on movie sets training dogs. At night, he and Smokey performed at the Hollywood Canteen. But they were unable to make a living at it, so they all returned to Cleveland. Wynn worked as an aerial photographer, and on weekends and nights, did local television programs with Smokey. In total, she was on 42 different shows. Smokey continued doing her work for local hospitals, as well as society events. By 1953, Smokey had retired from show business, and Wynn had gone on to work for the Plain Dealer newspaper. Smokey enjoyed her retirement with six kids at home to keep her busy. And on February 21st, 1957, 13 years after she was found in the jungle of New Guinea, Smokey crossed the Rainbow Bridge. Wynn didn't want to bury her in the yard of their rented house, so he and his family drove to the Cleveland Metro Park system, where he could visit her grave at any time. Today, there stands a memorial atop it, so this beautiful little war dog sitting in her owner's helmet, just as she did all those years ago.
Also, move over Lassie, because Smokey was way better and had more TV time, probably.
Well, she has seven memorials to her, and they're all over the country. Lakewood, Ohio.
What was it? One was in Australia?
There's one in Cleveland Metro Parks in Lakewood, Ohio. The AKC Museum of Dog in St. Louis, Missouri. Higham Air Force Base in Hawaii. Ohio Veterinary Medicine Association in Columbus, Ohio. The city of Eastlake, Ohio. University of Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine, and Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital, Brisbane, in Queensland, Australia.
Wow. All over.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking two continents.
I'd say almost three, because Hawaii is just out there.
Yeah.
It's just, I know it's part of us, but it's not even close.
Yeah, that's just the coolest thing, that this teeny tiny little dog had such a huge ripple effect.
Huge ripple effect.
And it was that newspaper, the tiny dog home from war story, that her previous owner.
Yes, we need to make sure that everyone understands her first name was really Christmas.
Her original name was Christmas.
And that's why when they all would talk about the word Christmas, that she would get all excited. And they didn't know why.
It's like, oh, she knows what Christmas is. And she's like, Christmas is me. I'm Christmas.
That's me. You're like, I just answered a Smokey. Yeah. I'm really Christmas. So she was a princess. Turned into a war dog. Back into a princess.
Oh, she was absolutely back into a princess. Wynn's wife said that there were times that she was almost the other woman because of the relationship with Wynn and Smokey.
I get that, though. I mean, he had a bond. And when a dog is there for you during war and saves your life on numerous ways, you know, like just mentally and physically, I get it. I mean, I think his thing was, oh, let's do this. Oh, well, Smokey's got this going on. That Smokey's got that going on. And it was all about Smokey. For a long time. I think there was even right after they got married, when a lot of her gigs were going on, I think it was that they almost separated.
Well, she came back from California months before he did, because she came back to a job because they weren't making any money. But he wanted to
pursue Smokey. Smokey and all her fame.
Yep.
I mean, I get it, but because he was a photographer, so he that's kind of part of it.
But then he realized, I think I should go be with my wife. I better go there. And then he did.
Yeah. Like, I still love her. Oh, crap. Well, he came to his senses and went like, yeah, I'm sorry. Kind of lost sight of things.
Six kids during his lifetime, 9 altogether. So they obviously worked everything out.
What, 9?
9.
Holy moly. Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was only the 6. I didn't hear about 9. Holy moly. But that's where they tell you some of the information and not all of it. Unless you keep digging and then you learn all of it.
Yeah. In truth, Smokey was what most would call a therapy dog, and perhaps one of the first, if not the first. She brought much needed light into the darkness that was World War II for so many, and continued sharing that light for years after. Our tale has been told, and we hope you enjoyed the telling as much as we did. Until next time, this has been the Furry Tales Podcast.